I'm older than Laura, so I'm going to start. My name is Rebecca Thomas, known by most of you as BB and most people by BB. I come to you today not as a gifted speaker by no means, and definitely not a perfect person, so you can ask my mother and my brothers and my boys and my close friends, such as a college roommate, Kathy, who's here today, who knows that side of my story. But I come to you today as somebody who loves Jesus. I love my Jesus, and I love spending time with him every single day throughout my day, especially in the mornings, and someone who is called to serve. I've always been one to serve others. From the time I was a little girl in Clinton, North Carolina, I would gather the neighborhood kids and I would play school. I would be the teacher. To the time that I had my career as nursing in the hospital, and I prayed that my hands, when I touched somebody, would provide comfort to them. And then to my time as a case manager, that my words would comfort somebody who was going through a medical situation. And it continues now until my retirement, when I care for one of my grandsons or help mama or help cousin Mike or help whoever needs my help. I accepted Jesus as my savior when I was 6 years old. My father, Papa Ken, was a successful insurance man at the time, and he, in his gentle way, showed me the way. He later felt God calling him to the ministry, and he became a Southern Baptist minister. He and my mother, Rebecca, who's here today, made sure my three brothers, two are here today, Ken and Sam, and I were instructed in the way to live as the Bible directs. Now, sometimes I probably can say we, thought they were a little bit too strict with the way that they instructed us. And it wasn't until I got away from them and got to college that I knew that the way they instructed us was for a reason. And I truly am grateful for that today. I've always been in church from the time I was in my mama's womb. In college, Kathy and I went to Oakmont Baptist Church in Greenville, to my time nursing in Gallup, New Mexico, at First Baptist Church, Gallup, New Mexico. I attended and participated in many forms there. And then here, Daddy's churches that he had, and then here, I've been a little bit of everything. Choir member, handbell member, pianist, but no ways. This was high school in that First Baptist Church when at least you could play a little something that was important. Different ways, Sunday school teacher, GA leader, women's ministry leader, hospitality committee, finance committee. I could go on and on, but never as a deacon. Though I was asked numerous times to be a deacon, I didn't feel like it was about my ability, but my availability. So in fact, when Judy Smith ran up to me one Sunday after church, she asked me if she could nominate me as a deacon, and I said no, immediately said no, because that is not what I felt like I needed to do, or God wanted me to do. And so I felt like I was already tight in my schedule and my commitments to others and did not feel like I could take on one more thing. But then Richard and Glenda Poindexter called me. And when they asked me, the first thing I said was, no. And Richard and Glenda, in their calm and non-threatening, that's not what I want to say, but in their gentle way, Richard said, it's okay if you don't want to. And the way he said it, I said, let me pray about it. And so I told him I will let him know at a certain date and time, which was a few days later on Friday by 10 a.m. Well, then the Holy Spirit, you know how he does, started working on me. And now I know how God speaks to me compared to my younger days when I would open up the Bible and I'd point to a Bible verse and I would think that was how God was answering me by whatever that verse said. But since then, I've definitely grown in my communication with God and know the importance of spending time with him every day and come to love Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, and be persistent in prayer. In my daily Bible readings, since I had talked to Glenda and Richard, my devotions and my communication to him, he started molding my heart to accept the call to serve you, church, as a deacon for this term. My devotion on the morning I was to let Richard know my decision was entitled, A Prayer About Availability, taken from 365 pocket prayers for women given to me by Betty last year when I had surgery. Do you see how it all lines up? I want to read it to you. Lord God, I want you to be able to use me. Help me to reorient my life so that no matter what I do it as service to you. I am eager to go where you send me and do what you call me to do. When I follow you with a willing heart, I know you will bless me, not because of my ability, but because of my availability. As soon as I read this, I was certain that God had used this prayer to answer my prayer as to whether to serve you as a deacon in the coming years. I sent a picture of the prayer to Richard with no comments, and his response was, I take this as a yes. And then we talked to each other, and from there, he gave my acceptance. So again, I come to you as an imperfect person, a sinner saved by God's amazing grace, willing to serve you. I come to you as a member of Yates Baptist Church for 40 years. I've been here 40 years this year. And someone who wants to see this church be a vibrant church again, willing to serve you. I come to you willing to serve and ask that you pray for me and the deacon team because your one prayer may be what makes the difference. I come to you as someone who loves Jesus and wants this journey to be about him as I serve you. So Todd, who I'm already impressed with his leadership, he gave me 7 minutes, and I've got more time. So part of my 7 minutes will be about him, about Jesus. Do you know my Jesus? The one I see when I see sweet baby Mason smile at me when I go to Brent's on the days that I keep him with his big smile? Do you see the one I feel when Chandler gives me a hug and says, I love you, Granby? The one I see when my friends and my family, my two boys and my sister-in-law and brother and college roommates and friends come and take care of me when I am unable to take care of myself sacrificially. I see my Jesus. The one I see, I feel his presence and know who is the creator when I drive to Wesley's to have supper with him and see the beautiful and peaceful sunset over Jordan Lake. Do you know the one that holds my hand, guiding me and comforting me through the journey that I make, that I've walked through a nursing career, through the ups and downs of life, through several medical scares, through the later life of my father living with Alzheimer's and then his death, and through separation and divorce? Do you know my Jesus who gives me peace that passes all understanding when nothing else makes sense? Do you know him? Do you know my Jesus who taught me to forgive because he first forgave me? Do you know him? Do you have the assurance today that if today you take your last breath, that you will see him face to face, that you will see my Jesus, our Jesus, face to face? Don't linger. Let Jesus, my Jesus, into your heart today, and let him hold your hand as you continue your journey, your life's journey, whether it's one more minute or 100 more years. I'm willing to serve you, my church, as your deacon in the coming year. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. Bibi is a hard act to follow. When I was writing this talk yesterday, my daughter said to me, she's like, are you going to write that like with a pen and paper? And I told her maybe I would type it up, but I didn't. Okay, so I got this dia several years ago when I was baptized in this church to remind me to be the light of Christ and the salt of the earth. And it's what I always wanted, to be the light of Christ in my work with patients as a nurse. Our family moved during the pandemic, and I lost the salt from my candle. And then after we had moved, it fell off the nightstand and the candle broke, just slightly. And that was kind of how I felt about my faith. I quit working in the hospital, and I got a job in the clinic that was not as stressful, but I worked 5 and 6 days a week, and I felt like there were rarely any clear moments to think about my faith. I started singing in the choir, and I felt like the words really expressed my faith in ways that my words couldn't. I wanted to do more to serve God, but I really didn't have time to do anything else. And in October, Barry Payne called me. I was on the way to choir practice, and I was listening to the soundtrack for the Christmas program. Barry asked me if I wanted to be a deacon. The narrator on the Christmas soundtrack had just said, "Do you ever know when something is so right that it needs no explanation?" That is how I felt about receiving this calling. I told Barry I would like to be a deacon. I asked my nurse manager at the hospital if I could come back and work there again so I could have more days off. She said she didn't have any openings. My Sunday school class prayed for me, and the next day, my nurse manager emailed me and said she would ask for permission to hire an extra nurse. I'm starting my new job at the hospital this week. My faith has always been very important to me. My grandmothers and my mother shared their faith with me, along with youth leaders that were so vital to my faith formation. I felt really good about my faith in Jesus, like it was the one thing in my life that I could get right when it was so easy to mess everything else up. But then I got busy with children and work, and my husband became an atheist, and I just felt like it was hard to maintain my faith. But you, as my church family, have always been there for me, and I look forward to serving you and serving the community around us as your deacon. And thank you.